You can go ahead and turn your Bibles to John chapter 14. John 14 will be contain our passage for today. Let me tell you a story about a person named Rick. Rick's been a Christian for 17 years. And when he first trusted Christ, Rick was very excited. He loved to worship the Lord through song, just like we did this morning. He loved to be part of Bible studies where he could learn God's Word. He loved to tell his friends about Christ, wanting them to have the same relationship with God that he now has. And he loved to just live in the presence of the Lord at all times. Very excited. But, as happens with a lot of people, over time, Rick took on more responsibility at work, receiving some promotions. And of course, with more responsibility comes less time. And so the things in his life that were pushed down the priority list were his relationship with God, the ongoing fellowship that he had with God. And so if Rick's honest with his life, he would say, you know, I'm just not experiencing the excitement and the abundant joy that I first had with the Lord. In fact, sometimes my relationship with God seems distant. It seems dry, sometimes lifeless. And I don't like it. I want to get back to the way it was. And so as Rick drives to work early in the morning and home from work late in the evening, the question keeps coming to his mind, how do I get back to where I was with Christ? I don't think Rick is unique. I think a lot of people experience what Rick has experienced. I bet my little scenario here about Rick has kind of hit home with some people here today. We have great times of excitement with the Lord, and other times you're just kind of pushing through, right? But the question still remains, how do I enjoy an ongoing, abundant relationship with God that is mine, that can be mine? How do I do that? How do I maintain that? How do I get back to that? Well, today we're starting three teaching messages about the Holy Spirit. We're not doing all three at once, so you will get out on time. But over the next three weekends, we're going to talk about John 14 today, John 16 next weekend, and then three weekends from now, we're going to talk about other passages from the Bible about how to walk and live in the Holy Spirit. That third weekend from now, Pastor Dave is preaching, November 19th, his farewell sermon, so please make sure you put that on your calendar and be here. But the purpose today in these next few sermons is to become personally acquainted or personally reacquainted with the Holy Spirit so that we can live obedient lives, we can live lives which are pleasing to God, we can be empowered by His Spirit, and we can overflow with joy. Because, and we've all done it, a life lived out of fellowship with God and a life lived in our own power is drudgery. It is like just grinding it out, white knuckle, grit your teeth, get home to heaven type existence. But that's not what God has for us. And that can also be a scary existence because you're wondering, am I going to make it? But a life lived in the power of the Holy Spirit is an attractive one. To those of us maybe who've had it and want to get back to there, but certainly to a watching world who doesn't have the relationship with God that we have, it's an attractive one because when we live with the Holy Spirit in fellowship with Him, we have assurance of our relationship with God. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit confirms with our spirit that we are children of God. That's Romans chapter 8. Also, when we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can have the fearless ability to witness for Christ. I think of some of the people who went out yesterday to hand out batteries. There were about 50 of us. I'm sure there were many people who were like, how's this going to go? Am I going to come back alive? Thankfully, there were no reported casualties. So everybody came back alive, being a witness for Christ. Also, when we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can have complete victory over sin in our life. Moment by moment, victory over sin. Not necessarily victory in totality of our whole life, but moment by moment. We can say no to sin and we can say yes to Christ. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to do that. Also, when we walk with the Spirit, we can have a deep and clear understanding of the Word, of God's Word, the Bible. And we're going to see in this message the inseparable link between the Holy Spirit's ministry and the ministry of the Word. Okay? So you're in John chapter 14. Let me direct your eyes up to actually John 13, verse 33 to start. I want to set the setting up again here. Remember, Jesus is meeting with his disciples. John chapter 13 through 17 is Jesus' final, if we may put it this way, his final download to his disciples. He knows that he is going to the cross. He's going to be arrested, go to the cross, die, be buried, raised again, spend 40 more days with his disciples, and then ascend to heaven. So he's sharing his heart with them. These are very powerful, intimate, tender moments that Jesus is having with his 11 disciples. Judas has gone out during supper time. And so he's preparing them to carry on the mission. After Jesus ascends to heaven, this mission needs to carry on. And so he's counseling them. So look at verse 33, John 13, 33. At one point, Jesus says to them, "Little children, I'm with you a little while longer. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come." Now, that would have been a very difficult moment during supper. Think of it. You've been with this man, who indeed is more than a man, for 3.5 years. He's the most marvelous, attractive, magnetic person you've ever been around. And even my last sentence is a complete understatement of who Jesus is. And now he's saying, you can't come to be with me where I'm going. Huh? What? What's going on? So this is why Peter says in verse 36, as he speaks probably for the whole group there, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "Where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later." And then Jesus proceeds in chapter 14, 15, 16. He proceeds to give them comfort, saying, "We will be apart, but you have one another. Love one another as I've loved you. Abide in my word, and you will have answered prayer. And I'm going to send to you the Holy Spirit. He will be with you." And so that's who we're going to talk about today, is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus promises the presence of the Holy Spirit for his disciples' comfort and guidance. So let me read for us. You can just listen along. John 14, I'm going to read verses 15 through 17, and I'm going to read verse 26, okay? And it's part of a longer passage, and we'll refer to a few other passages as we go, but I'm just going to read these. So follow along in your copy of the scripture. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him, but you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you." Now verse 26. "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." Okay, let me pause for prayer, and then we'll get into the bulk of the message. Spirit, please speak through me to us. And God, let us be people who live lives pleasing to you. Thanks that you teach us your word, and I pray that you would apply this to our hearts. In each of the individual situations represented here today, give us a word so that we might glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. In this passage, Jesus introduces us to the Holy Spirit. So let's take a look today at three introductions. First of all, let's meet the Holy Spirit. And if you remember every sermon that I've ever preached, just like I do from week to week, you'll remember, that was a joke by the way, but you'll remember that I preached on this back in the series we did called The Inner Circle, on a friendship with the Holy Spirit. We preached this passage and take a few different angles at this to draw out some more truths. But I mentioned two things about the Holy Spirit. And I think anytime we preach on the Holy Spirit or teach on the Spirit, we should always say these things. So if you teach a community group or a family group or a children's Sunday school or a youth group on the ministry of the Spirit, I think you should probably start here and at least get the basics covered. Obviously, we're going to do a quick sketch here, not an in-depth study. But we should know, first of all, that the Holy Spirit is God. The reason we say this is because the same characteristics ascribed to God in the Bible, God the Father, are attributed to the Spirit. The Spirit is presented as being all-knowing. He knows the very thoughts of God, 1 Corinthians 2. He's everywhere present. Psalm 139 says, "Where can I go from your Spirit? I ascend to the heavens, I descend to Sheol, and you are there." He's all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, all-powerful. The Spirit is involved in creation. Genesis 1, 2, the Spirit of God is moving over the surface of the waters. He gives us spiritual life. He causes us to be born again. And then a fourth thing here is that the Spirit is given equality with the Father and the Son. If you look in verse 26 in your Bibles, I'll just make a point right out of our passage for today. We see the Trinity represented, not the term Trinity, but the form. First of all, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, there's one person of the Trinity, whom the Father, there's a second person of the Trinity, and the who will send in my name, that's Jesus. There's a third person of the Trinity represented. So Father, Son, Holy Spirit, equally divine, three persons in one Godhead, the mystery of the Trinity, but clearly demonstrated in Scripture. Okay, and so the Spirit is God, just as the Father is God, just as the Son is God. Secondly, he's a person. The Spirit is not an it, he's a he. He's not an impersonal force. He's not a feeling, although the Spirit does stir our emotions sometimes, perhaps during our worship singing. You maybe had some tears come to your eyes or a sense of the Spirit of joy inside of you. This is the activity of the Spirit as we worship God. He dwells in the praises of his people. And then also, we need to know that he's a personal person. Verse 17 says that the Spirit abides with you. Also in verse 17, the Spirit can be known. And verse 26, he teaches. The Spirit teaches. These are all ministries of a person, not a energy or a force. Okay, so you get the point. The Spirit is God, and he's a person. Let's move on to the second introduction, and we'll spend more time on number two and number three. The Holy Spirit is the Father's promised gift to all believers. To all believers. Let me do a quick survey of some points from the Old Testament on the ministry of the Holy Spirit to help give us a picture, okay? So track with me because it's going somewhere, all right? First of all, the Father promised that the Messiah would be empowered by his Spirit. The Messiah is the chosen one of God, the Redeemer of Israel, the Redeemer of all mankind, God's chosen one to come and save us. So in Isaiah 61:1, we see this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is the Messiah speaking. Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. Okay, here's where you get to participate in church. Who does that sound like in the New Testament? Starts with a J, ends with an Jesus. Jesus, very good. All right. Because if you remember, we've been reading along in the Bible reading plan. I love you guys. You're so much fun. I've been reading along in the Bible reading plan. You read in Luke, Jesus stood in the synagogue in Nazareth, and the scroll of Isaiah was handed to him. He opens up to this passage, which is remarkable in itself, or perhaps the passage was scheduled for that day. He stands in the pulpit there, and he reads this passage, Isaiah 61:1. He closes the scroll and he says, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Wow! He's saying, "I am the anointed Messiah of God who's come to set captives free and to open the eyes of the blind." And so he's the Messiah, the anointed one of the Spirit. This is why Luke says in Luke chapter 4, Jesus, full of the Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness. And then verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the ministry of Jesus is attributed to the Spirit. He walked in the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit, and he accomplished these things. And so he's an example to us that we walk in the fullness of the Spirit to be obedient to God, to do the works of God. So you see, the Messiah was empowered by the Spirit. Secondly, the Father promised a new ministry of the Spirit. As opposed to his ministry under the Old Covenant, there's a new ministry in the New Covenant. So for instance, in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27, God says, "I will give you a new heart, and I will put my Spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances." Okay? So God is speaking about a time, which has now come, When the Spirit would come, God would cause us to be born again, taking out of us our heart of stone and giving us a heart of flesh, putting His Spirit in the individual to be able to walk in obedience to God. Hold that thought. We'll come back to it in a moment. But also in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, the Father promised, He said, "It will come about after this that I will pour out My Spirit on all mankind." Not just on judges, the judges of Israel, not just on prophets, not just on kings. I will pour out My Spirit on young and old, nobles and laymen, men and women. All will have equal access to My Holy Spirit, which was fulfilled in the day of Pentecost. So here's what happened on the day of Pentecost. The disciples were waiting in Jerusalem, just as Jesus said, for the promise of the Father. Jesus had ascended to heaven 10 days earlier. And then on the day of Pentecost, which was a feast of the Jews, many Jews from different nations were gathered in Jerusalem. And so the Holy Spirit was poured out on the apostles and the disciples there. They spoke in the languages of the people who had come to Jerusalem. The people heard the gospel, and they believed and were baptized. The reason that the apostles and the disciples had power to preach that day is because the Holy Spirit came and was poured out from heaven on them. Okay? So here's the point. Thanks for taking that journey with me. Now the Father gives the Spirit to every believer. Not just those in AD 33, but for people down through the ages, even in 2017, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, He gives you the gift of His Holy Spirit to reside in you. Don't take my word for it. Look in verse 16, back in John now, John 14. "I will ask the Father, He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever." The last part of verse 17, "He abides with you and will be in you." You see that? It was future tense, now it's past tense. It's been fulfilled at the day of Pentecost, and so we have access to the Holy Spirit. So, as believers in Jesus Christ, we've been given the Holy Spirit to take up residence in us. I said this to you before, but I think it bears repeating. When you come to Christ, by God's grace, He draws you to you Himself and causes us to be born again. We are under new management. You take the keys of your life and you hand them over to God. And because we're under new management, the Spirit comes into us and He starts renovating. He might knock down some walls. He might just need to scrub up a few things. He may even level the whole complex and build it right from the beginning back up. Okay? This is what the Spirit does in us. He makes us new, and He rearranges us so that we live a life pleasing to God, not just pleasing to ourselves anymore. And so the Spirit dwells in us. He gives us spiritual life. We'll cover that next week. Crossing us from death over into life. He empowers us to live lives pleasing to God according to His Word. And that's not all. Romans 8:11, if you'll write that down, Romans 8:11, it's an amazing verse, something to ponder. That the Spirit who gave life to Christ, if that Spirit dwells in you, He will also give life to our mortal bodies and cause us to be raised from the dead and spend eternity with Him. Isn't that amazing? We're going to live forever because we have the deposit of the Spirit. I'll come back to that in just a moment. But the Holy Spirit is the Father's promised gift to all believers. You are going to get some fantastic gifts for Christmas. I can just feel it. You're so excited about that. But you will not, I will not get a gift as valuable as the gift that God has given us in His Son, first of all, but in His Spirit, secondly. Isn't that amazing? We have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside of us. So this leads us to our third introduction, that the Spirit is our forever helper. He's our forever helper. Verse 16 and verse 26, the same title is used for the Spirit. He's our helper. Verse 17, He's the Spirit of truth. He's our forever helper. Let's talk about that first of all. Verse 16, Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, He will send you another helper." So Jesus was their helper, but now He's saying, another helper like me is going to come. In fact, this next helper is better than me, John 16:7. He says, it's to your advantage that I go to the Father. If I don't go to the Father, the Spirit will not come. And so we've been advantaged to have the Holy Spirit. The word helper, or the title helper, it means one who's called alongside to assist. Some of you here work in the medical profession. Perhaps you're a nurse. I think a nurse is a good example of the ministry of the Spirit in terms of illustration. A nurse is there to help. You know, you ring the bell, or whatever they do these days, hit the button. The nurse comes rushing in, gets this for you, makes sure you're taking your meds, helps you out of bed, helps you back into bed. That's a picture of the helping ministry of the Holy Spirit. We need to take that into the spiritual realm. But the Spirit is there for us to help us, to be our comforter, to be our counselor. I've shared this quote before, but I'll say it again. In secular use, the Greek word for helper indicated a legal representative or lawyer who would intercede before the court on behalf of someone else. So if anybody asks you this week, hey, you know any good lawyers? You can say, yeah, I know two of them. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Because that word advocate is used for Christ in 1 John chapter 2. And then also here for the Spirit. He's my advocate before the Father. He intercedes for me. So this is why you'll see in various English translations, the word helper, or the Greek word, is translated as helper, or advocate, or comforter, or counselor. Survey any of the popular English translations today, you'll get varying degrees of translation. Why? Because that title that Jesus uses for the Spirit cannot be encapsulated in one title. That's how vast the ministry of the Spirit is in our lives. Okay? So let me bring this down where this makes sense to us. If you've ever been at a point in your life when you cannot pray, perhaps you've been hit with a tragedy, perhaps you're just confused over a situation, or you're angry and you just can't pray. Romans 8 tells us that the Spirit of God prays for us in groans which are inexpressible. So the Spirit steps in and prays for us. If you've ever been a point in your life where you've experienced victory over a sin which keeps dragging you back into its clutches, but now you have victory over it, that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Just for fun, read Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 8, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. If you've ever been at a point in your life where you are so struck by grief that you are despairing even of life, and in your mind comes a Bible verse that you learned in Sunday school, or perhaps from a radio preacher, or your grandma shared it with you, and it reminds you of the eternal hope that you have in Christ. It reminds you that God is our ever-present help in times of trouble. Or the Spirit reminds you of Romans chapter 8, that God works all things for good for those who are called according to His purpose. That's the ministry of the Helper, the Holy Spirit. He shows up on the scene and gives us what we need to be counseled about in that moment, to be helped with in that moment, to be comforted in that moment. Sometimes we're oblivious to the ministry of the Spirit. We don't recognize Him for who He is and what He's doing. But hopefully giving you a few of those little acknowledgments can say, yeah, the Spirit's active in my life. He's there. He's here for me. Let's move on now. He's our forever helper. Notice that Jesus says that He'll be with you into eternity. He won't be with you for 3.5 years as I was in terms of Jesus' ministry. He'll be with you forever. Forever. Not just momentarily, not just sort of short-term contract, or He's not going to retire, He's not going to go on extended vacation. He's with you forever. One of the beautiful things as I've thought about this passage is that when God gives you His Holy Spirit, okay, if you're sleeping, this would be a great moment to wake up. If God gives you His Holy Spirit when you come to Christ, you will never be separated from God again. You see, we're born into this world enemies of God because of our sinful nature. We need to be born again. We need to be redeemed. And we are separated from God. But when God reaches into our lives and causes us to be born again, He puts the deposit and the guarantee and the pledge of our inheritance, known as the Spirit, in our lives, and we will never be separated ever again. This is why Romans 8:11 makes sense, that the Spirit who raised Christ from the dead will also raise you from the dead, because you have the deposit of the Spirit. And so this is why we have the hope of eternal life, not because I'm such a great guy. I have a hope of eternal life because Jesus forgave me and has given me the deposit of the Spirit, and He's going to bring me back to be with Him forever, never to be separated again. This is why Jesus said in verse 18, if you glance there in your Bibles, He says, I won't leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you vulnerable out there on your own. First of all, I'm going to rise from the dead and I'm going to come to you, but also I'm going to give you the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit will be with you on into eternity. And so this is something to be quite excited about. It should change our Mondays when we go back to work. The Spirit is with me. I'm taking the Spirit into my cubicle or on the assembly line or to my meeting or when I'm hanging out with the kids and I got to get them off to school. The Spirit is with me. He's always with us. He's our forever helper. You see, in the Old Covenant, the Spirit would come upon people for a particular task, but then He would leave. But now He's with us forever. In the Old Covenant, God's presence would descend upon the temple. But now, who's the temple of God? Everybody take your finger and point it back at yourself. Yeah, do it. Come on, play along with me. It makes my job more interesting, okay? If you've trusted Christ, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Wait a minute. That's a game changer. If the Spirit of God dwells inside of me, the same Spirit that was involved in creation, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit that caused me to be born again, if He's with me, that means where I go, He goes. Ooh. What I look at, He looks at. What I prioritize, He's there to see it. What I buy, He's there. So, wow. I better please God in what I look at, what I spend my money on, how I treat the brothers and sisters in the Christian family, how I treat my family. The Spirit of God is dwelling inside of us. Okay? The very presence of God. Findlay, Ohio. Who'd have known? Spirit of God inside of us. He's our forever helper, but He's also our Bible teacher. Verse 17, He's the Spirit of truth. Verse 26, He says this to His apostles. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Two ministries of the Spirit I want to repeat to you. First of all, the ministry of inspiration of Scripture. So when Jesus speaks these words, He's primarily speaking to the apostles who would go and preach His word. I will bring to my remembrance, He will bring to your remembrance what I said to you. And those who wrote Scripture, Peter, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, etc., Paul. Scripture is the very out-breath of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. Scripture is God-breathed. The Bible is God-breathed. Thankfully, it's been translated from Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic into our mother tongue, that we can understand Scripture. But 2 Peter 1:20 and 21 says, know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So when we're dealing with the Bible, we're not dealing with a book that's on par with Peter Rabbit or The Old Man and the Sea. Different books. Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit so that the words that were penned on those parchments were the very words of God through human authors. Peter, John, you see their personalities coming out, but you see the unity of Scripture. You feel the power of Scripture. You submit yourself to the authority of Scripture, so that when the author of Scripture, small a, speaks, the author of Scripture, big A, is speaking. Do you hear that? So it's the Holy Spirit who breathed God's word into existence and written in our language that we can learn, translated into our language. So the inspiration of Scripture, but also the illumination. And this is the ongoing ministry of the Spirit. Inspiration of Scripture is closed. We have the canon of Scripture right here. Okay, no, none of you are getting further inspiration to write Scripture. That was the ministry of the apostles and the prophet, the apostles and the prophets. But the ministry of the Spirit in our lives is illumination of Scripture, which means the Spirit shining light on God's word for our understanding. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. You know, I'm sure you've heard great Bible teachers from Sunday school on up to the pulpit. We have some great Bible programs for computers. A lot of it's free on the internet that you can study the Scripture. But the best Bible teacher that you have, the Holy Spirit, he was given to you by God as a free gift. So that when I'm reading a Scripture and all of a sudden, bam, it makes sense to me. Wow, where'd that come from? That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, helping us to understand the things that are freely given to us by God. So the Spirit is our Bible teacher. For the purpose of obedience. This is important. It's not for the purpose of knowledge, so that we can impress people at a birthday party about how much we know about the Bible. It's so that we would obey Scripture and fall in line with the way God wants us to live. So that's why in verse 15, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He says the same thing in verse 21. He says the same thing in verse 23. If anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. And so the Holy Spirit teaches us Christ's word so we can live a life pleasing to him, so that we can serve and glorify him with the gifts that he's given to us, and so we can be trained witnesses for Christ in this world. The ministry of the Spirit, our forever helper, our Bible teacher, and then lastly, just very quickly, he's our abundant life giver. Jesus said this in John 7. We didn't cover it at the time, so I'll put it here. Jesus says, whoever believes in me, as the Scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And John tells us that he was speaking of the Spirit, which has now come. So this was what Rick, remember Rick? This is what Rick was desiring again. Maybe this is what you're desiring. How do I activate the flowing river of the Spirit in my life? Because I feel more like a desert than a spring of water. Well, based on what Jesus has said, we come to Scripture, we read, we reflect upon, we submit ourselves to what it says, we ask for the Spirit's help to obey it. We've seen that the ministry of the Word and the ministry of the Spirit cannot be separated. The two go hand in hand. And so if you want the abundant life, if we want the abundant life that Christ offers and is ours to live in, right here, Scripture, the Spirit, working together in a powerful force as we obey and live it out, we'll have abundant life, rivers of living water flowing out of us, and people will look at us and say, something different about you. I mean, in a good way, like something's happened to you. And we receive the ministry of the Spirit. Let me end with these four quick summary points. Because we have the ministry of the Spirit, the presence of the Spirit in us, we are not spiritually lost because the Spirit is with us forever. We are not spiritually helpless because the Holy Spirit is our helper. We are not spiritually clueless because we have the Holy Spirit as our teacher. We are not spiritually boring because the Spirit is our life giver. It's all accessible to those who follow Jesus Christ. Ask our worship team to come, and we're going to close in a song of praise, and let me pray for us. Spirit, I thank you that you are pleased to do the will of the Father and the Son, and that you have caused these words to be written down Thank you for the ministry of translation, that we have these words in our own language. Help us to understand them. Thank you that you live inside of us to be our helper and our teacher. And I pray, Father, for those here today who've maybe been going through a dry spell in their relationship with you, I pray that you would take the rocks out of the way so the river can flow again, and so that we can experience your presence, the fellowship of the Spirit, to live in obedience to you. Give us a fresh hunger for your word, where true life can be found. Let us be a church not only of knowledge of your word, but doing your word and receiving the benefits that you offer for that. Thanks that you're in us. Thanks that you draw us closer to the Father and the Son. Have your way in us, we pray. Let's experience, Lord Jesus, the abundant joy that you have promised to us. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.